Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Heritage, do you smell the rain? Yes, we smell the rain. God has been with us today. Now, looking around at the rain, I bet you felt bad Friday night you didn't go camping, but how many is glad you didn't go camping now? I was feeling the same thing. Yeah, and after, I'm not going to mention any names, but after me sharing our bat story and Pastor Jim taking such good care of me, one of the men said to him on the way out, "You're a better man than me. I ran and my wife had to take care of it." We won't say any names, though, will we? All right. We have a hand. Sorry, I wasn't planning on that. We have a hand. Today I want to talk about our words and how we need to speak carefully. That song, there was a line in the song we sang, and it said, "For those of us who bear his name." Oh, I love that. God, I want to bear your name. And when I bear your name, that name of Jesus, certain responsibility comes with my words and with your words. You know, words carry such meaning. Raise your hand if you've ever been hurt by somebody else's words. Raise your hand if you've ever been encouraged by someone else's words. Yeah, it's very powerful, and it goes both ways. We like movie lines at our house, and there's a few that we kind of have reoccurring in our home. If we think one of us is being a little too wimpy, we say, "There's no crying in baseball." Yeah. There's one that Jim used to watch this when he was, I think, a few good men. That back when we could only afford $12 cable, you only had so many channels, so they played things over and over. And so a few good men, he would pause it on because he wanted to hear, "You can't handle the truth," right? And I'm like, there he goes again, waiting on that line. When things get really, really hard, any Rocky fans, we look at each other and we say, "Cut me, Mick." Because he cut his eye so he could see to finish the fight. And then this makes me cry every time in Forrest Gump. When Forrest looks at Jenny and he says, I'll tear it now, "Jenny, is he smart?" Because at first you think Forrest isn't aware of all that's going on around him and how he's mistreated. And when he asks that question, you know that he knew he was being mistreated. Yeah, so some of those lines just stay with us. One year I didn't want to buy Jim a Valentine's card because I thought this would be better. You know, then if he wanted to know how I felt about him, he could just push this button. So I hope you can hear it.
"Are you a feet tired? Because you've been running through my dreams all night long."
How about that? This one?
"I wish I had a shovel, because I so dig you."
And one more?
"Did it get brighter in here, or did you just smile?"
Isn't that great? And I just thought, you know, if he's ever doubting how I feel about him, he can just push that button. Our kids were home a little bit, and one of them said, "Oh my, you still have that button?" I said, "Yes, it has such meaning in our marriage." Proverbs 10:19 says, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." Took me a while to figure that out. The book of Proverbs has much to say about how we use our words. I will tell you the single thing that will affect your relationships is your tongue. Absolutely. If you use it to encourage people in your relationships, they will be richer. If you use your tongue to put people down or to get the little digs in or to condescend, that relationship is going to be rough. People are drawn to someone who speaks kind, gentle, uplifting words. I have someone in my life that when she sends me a text, I get so excited. I'm like, oh, she's going to just uplift me and speak Jesus over me. And I'll just take a picture of it and save it and read it because that's how much her words mean to me. I had this thing when I mostly taught middle school and eighth graders, but for a while I taught fifth graders. And I spend more time with them at the time than they spent with their parents, if you think about that, the influence. And so I had a rule that when on that last day of school, I would give them a one-on-one pep talk before they had to leave my room and go in the hallway. It was just something that I did. And so I was standing with my eighth graders just a few years ago, and a senior walked up to me, and he said, "Mrs. Kelly, do you remember me?" And I said, "Absolutely, Sam, I remember you." He said, "You don't know what your words meant to me in the fifth grade." He said, "Do you remember what you told me?" And I said, "I don't remember exactly, but I can paraphrase." He said, "You told me that I was smart and I had ambition and you thought I could be anything that I set my mind to." And he said, "I'm going to graduate from here in just a couple months, and I'm going to do what you told me I could do in the fifth grade." Do we imagine what encouragement does for us? How we can just take it with us a long way. If I said to you, how many of you can remember something mean a teacher told you? How about a church member? Something mean someone at church said to you. And I hope it goes the other way. We can remember how uplifted we were when we came into God's house. You know, people will run and avoid someone who always has a harsh word. People are very diverse when it comes to words. If you look around, there are some people that you may have never heard even speak. Or maybe when they do, they speak one or two words. And then if you look around, we wonder if some people stop to breathe. Right? They got to get it all in. Some people have the gift of communicating, right? Jim has the gift of communicating. In 2000, he had back surgery. None of my family, we were in Michigan. It just didn't work out that someone could come be with me, and I was sitting there, and I was blessed. Three of our church members showed up just to sit with me while he had his back surgery. And we were doing fine. And then it started to take longer than it was supposed to. You know how you get kind of that nervous feeling? And so I got kind of up and I started to walk around and pace just a little bit. And then finally they came out and they said he was fine and I could go back and see him. So I go back to see him and his is what the nurse is. "Are you Jim's wife?" "Yes." "Oh, he is so nice. Oh, we just loved taking care of Jim." I'm like, "The one that just had surgery?" "Yes. Oh, look, this is Jim's wife. Remember how he said how nice he was?" And I'm thinking, he's gotten to know the whole staff when he was still supposed to be coming too, you know? And it's just like, who makes friends during back surgery? But that's how he is. You talk to him, he's going to want to know everything about you so he can relate to you. So I'm not saying we all have to be that type of a communicator. But what I think God means is for us to speak with wisdom and caution. The Ten Commandments are 297 words. Psalm 23 is 118 words. The Lord's Prayer is 56 words. Now, this is what I love. In a recent Department of Agriculture, they used 15,629 words to discuss the price of cabbage. How how many farmers do you think read that? I'm just wondering. Yeah. It gets to be too long. Do you guys do that on social media? If it's this long, you read it, and if it's this long, you just... Yeah, sometimes we do. It's not always the number of words we use, but it's the right words that we need to use to be a godly example, to bear God's name. The first thing is we don't have to say everything we know. Proverbs 17:27 says, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint. Just because we know something doesn't mean you have to say it. Just because it's true doesn't mean we have to say it. Yeah, and we're, you know, getting better at that. Like, should I say that? Should I not say that? God will stop us. I think two questions we always have to ask. Does it build someone up? If I say this to them, is it going to build them up? Is it going to bring glory to God? That's a tough one. Are my words, when I'm having this conversation, God's going to look down and say, oh, that's bringing me glory. We do not have to say everything we think. Do you remember that before social media, your thoughts were just your thoughts? Not published for the entire world to see? One time this woman was mad about cupcakes on social media. She tore those cupcakes down so much, I felt almost the need to pray for the cupcakes when she was done. She was bashing the store that made the cupcakes and telling you to go to this store, and I thought, poor cupcakes. Why do we do that? Sometimes it should just be a thought, and then it goes away. Sometimes we should ask ourselves, is this appropriate or is this not appropriate? Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. A few years back, Harvard looked at their list of the people that they had accepted into as a freshman into Harvard University. They looked at their social media accounts. They sent 10 letters to people from what they had posted on social media and said, you will no longer be accepted into Harvard University. Because someone thought they're representing Harvard, and we don't want that. Well, we are representing Jesus, and we have to think about what we're putting out there. Some people think that they know everything there is to know about everything, and it's their duty to share it to everyone. Does anyone remember the old TV show Cheers? Do you remember Cliff Clavin? I loved him, right? Yeah, he knew, talk about fun facts before there were fun facts. Anytime something, a topic would come up, he would just recite everything that went with it. Sometimes they would listen, sometimes they wouldn't. You say, I don't have one of those in my friend group. It might be you then. I was thinking, okay. You know I love you. Sometimes the best words you can say to someone is, I don't know. When Jim and I dated, if I would ask him something, he would give me this description, and I used to think, boy, he is so smart. And then we got married, and I'd ask him stuff, and one day I looked at him and said, you don't know at all, do you? I'm like, you have been making things up to me. He goes, well, I wanted to impress you. Well, we're married now. Just say I don't know. Sometimes we blow our credibility because we don't know anything about what we're talking about. If I said to you, I'm going to teach you how to golf today, and I think that you should put your feet about shoulder length apart, and I think you should hold the racket, the club, the club like this, and I think you look at where you're hitting it, or maybe you look at the ball. I think you swing really hard, and I think you kind of pose when you swing here, and you give it a twirl, and it's supposed to go. Ask me if I've ever golfed. Not one time. I have no credibility talking about golf. Let's have some credibility before we start talking about things. Let's have some credibility before we start talking about Jesus. Amen. And our credibility comes from this. We do not have to repeat everything we hear. Proverbs 18:28 says, "A perverse man stirs up dissension, and gossip separates close friends." I'm sure many of us have lost a friend over the years over something that was said. You see, sometimes what gossip isn't true at all. There was a man named Richard Jewell. Maybe you remember that. In 1996, there was a bomb that was set at the Atlanta Olympics. He was the first on the scene. He saved hundreds of lives, running in and getting them out and trying to get rid of the explosive. What happened in the days after that, short days, they accused him of setting the bomb. For 88 days, the police, the FBI caused scrutiny to him. The public painted him as evil. The New York Post called him a fat, failed sheriff's deputy. Tom Brokaw said they have enough evidence to arrest him right now, but they won't prosecute until they have a little more. His reputation was ruined. His life was ruined. He died at the age of 44 from natural causes. That's what the report said. Because people thought he was evil, and in reality, he was a hero. Words destroyed him. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." You know, we need to remember when we hear something and we draw a quick judgment about it, we don't know all the facts that happened. You know, sometimes in the church, that's easy to do. You think, wow, they made that decision? Well, we don't all know the facts. Just like I don't know all the facts in your life. And what I'm asking is maybe you and I'm saying myself, allow some grace, because there's always more to a story than anyone knows. A state trooper, choose your words wisely, pulled a man over and he said, "Are you wearing your seatbelt?" He said, "I sure am, officer. At the speeds I drive, I need to be safe." Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Make up your mind today and make up my mind to be an encourager, to be the one that helps people keep going. I'm going to close with this. This pastor was speaking in a city, and he got there the night before, and he thought, well, I don't want to just be in my hotel room all night. So he said, "I'll see what's going on." And he was excited. There was the cross-country state finals in the city. So he said, "Well, that's neat. I'll get to see the best of the best run." And so he said he went and he just kind of stood in the line. I don't know if you've ever been to cross-country and you stand at different points and they run by. And these were the best of the best runners. And he said, it was a really hard course, and some people were finishing, and some people were having a lot of struggle. And he said he noticed this woman. He said she must have had, like, a purse and three different bags and, like, a hanging cooler, you know, watching the runners. And she said it was clear that that was somebody's mom. And so he said, I just kind of looked at her and then looked away. And then he said, I saw this runner make that last curve. And he said, she had a look of pain on her face. Like she was struggling. Something physically was going on. And he said, it looked like she was not going to finish. And he said, this woman with all those bags stepped closer. And the woman said, Tammy, Tammy, you can do it, Tammy. You can finish. And he said, this Tammy, the countenance of her face changed. And he heard her mom's voice. She heard her mom's voice. And he said, she began to kind of straighten up, and the mom started running with her. He said, imagine this mom with all these bags and coolers, and the runner wasn't going fast at the end, and they were running, and she was going, Tammy, finish! You can finish! You can finish! And that girl ran across the finish line. He said, those two women, that mom and daughter, hugged, fell right down on the ground with all those bags and rolled. She didn't win. But she finished because a mom said, Tammy, you can do it. I am telling you today that there is a God that is calling your name when you think, I can't do one more bad news. I can't do one more sickness. I can't do one more treatment. I can't do one more doctor appointment. My kids can't break my heart one more time. The God of the universe is saying to you, you can do it. You can do it. I'm going to run beside you. I'm going to run beside you. And together, you can fall into my arms. And we can roll around someday with Jesus. He made you. He loves you. And he is telling you today, you can finish.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.